everybody. Welcome back to the Film Buds podcast. This is episode number 50, and my name is Henry.
Chloe.
And today, Brayden is coming, which is, you know, a routine thing with us. He should be here very soon, but joining us once again is our good buddy Cooper.
I'm here.
So thanks again, man, for coming on.
Yeah.
Switching your schedule around. And
I never get that.
We are regular.
Yeah. And so thank you for joining us. Today we're going to be talking about quite a bit of things, a few things.
Who bit Beyonce?
Right. That's the big thing. What movies? Oh, so we're going to be talking about First Reformed and Hereditary. And then we have some new trailers to talk about and a little listener mail. And, oh, you know, so all the usual stuff. So how's everybody today?
Doing good. I'm really tired, though.
Yeah.
That's why I was late. I had to stop and get coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, man.
It hasn't kicked in yet, but who knows? Maybe in the next couple minutes I'll sound a lot more wired.
No, you're fine, man. Yeah. You're fine. Chloe, how are you?
Fine.
Good.
We're not talking about it.
Well, cool. Anything going on that's worth mentioning these days?
Camp's about to start, so I'll probably be gifted a lot more vegetables.
Oh, good. Eggplants,
right? The tradition
goes,
yeah. I'm gifted a lot of vegetables from children randomly. Oh. Not like they're trying to end their lunch. Like they're
yeah,
like,
yeah. Here, finish my carrots.
Yeah. They're like, my mom asked me to bring you this. I get a lot of eggplants.
Oh, that's nice.
A lot of grapefruits.
Yeah.
My two least favorite foods. Literally, two least favorite foods. But that's I appreciate something. It nonetheless.
My new housemates put a whole bunch of old vegetable scraps on top of my fridge, and they've been up there for 3 days. I think they're gonna do a compost thing. I don't know. It's kind of there's flies all over my house. Like when I woke up today, there was flies everywhere.
Most people do compost outside.
Yeah,
our compost is outside.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they like started to do it and then just forgot about it, and it's just been on.
Are they in a container?
They're in a plastic bag that I'm pretty sure is open.
Ooh, that's bad news, man.
Yeah.
Gotta
my house is slowly descending
into
it. It knows it's sad about your departure.
Yeah.
Pretty like Monster House.
Pretty much like, what's today? The 13th?
13th, maybe.
Oh, I'm leaving this time next month.
Oh, man.
Bye-bye.
So soon.
I know.
Gone.
But I'll be in the land of dreams, as they call it. The Golden State? Is that what they call it?
No. That's not the Golden State.
Or is that Florida? I don't know.
It's fine. It's California.
Yeah, whatever.
Listeners, let us know if you're in the Golden State. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, again, Brayden should be here shortly. He'll probably come in the middle of...
Oh, he's right there.
Oh, speak of the devil.
Yeah.
All right, so Brayden has joined us.
Yay.
Brayden, how you doing, man?
I'm alive.
Hanging in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that
cat I don't think
on the
Cooper's
coaster.
Alive.
Yeah, Cooper looks like he's about to pass out.
Cooper's losing it, man.
I had a long night last night. All my girlfriend's out of town, so all the guys came over.
Uh-oh.
I got my friend to buy a Switch. We played Fortnite.
Guys night in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what a Switch is.
What has happened in this society that guys all, we got together, we had guys night, we played video games all night long. What happened to drinking beers and getting strippers and stuff?
Okay, well, we didn't do that second part. But years, this we replaced the strippers with video games, which, you know.
That's a new thing.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know. Something strikes me as fundamentally wrong with that.
But you play video games. What are you talking? You have boys nights in with your rape group all the time.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
But, all right. Well, with everybody here now, we can go ahead and do our review of Hereditary. And we should have a clip for this one, so take a listen.
You okay, Mo?
What?
Is there something on your mind?
Is there something on your mind?
It just seems like there might be something you want to say.
Yeah. Like what? I mean, why would I want to say something so I could watch you sneer at me?
Sneer at you? I don't ever sneer at you.
Oh, sweetie, you don't have to. You get your point across.
Okay, so fine, then say what you want to say, then.
Peter.
I don't want to say anything. I've tried saying
Okay,
things.
So try again. Release yourself.
Oh, release you mean?
Yeah, fine, release me. Just say it. Just
fucking say it!
Don't you swear at me, you little shit! Don't you ever raise your voice at me! I am your mother! Do you understand?
Henry literally opens his seltzer right in front of the microphone every time.
No, see, I have the cap off now.
I like that you have two. You have one in the chamber.
Yeah, I got a seltzer.
Last time you had three, so.
I'm just gonna IV for you. Just let it drip into your veins. You can just do that.
I'm thirsty, man. All right, so Hereditary is directed by Ari Aster. Anyone know? Is that the right pronunciation?
Don't look at me.
I'm not sure. I think that's right.
Yeah, and stars Toni Collette, Alex Wolff, Gabriel Byrne, Millie Shapiro. I guess that's about it. And the plot synopsis is, when the matriarch of the Grand family passes away, her daughter's family begins to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry. So, Cooper and I are the only ones that managed to see this. So just be both of us. Well, Cooper, what'd you think, man?
I thought it was great. I thought that just in terms of it being a horror movie, it was excellent. It was legitimately terrifying through and through. Like, not even that it, like, it really did do a good job of, like, establishing, like, atmosphere and stuff like that. But, like, there are parts where, like, you don't want to open your eyes. Like,
yeah.
I saw it with one of our coworkers, Phil, and there's a part where it was, like, silent in the theater and some really disturbing stuff was happening on screen. And he just goes, fuck. We were so scared.
There's a girl I was with. There's just two pairs of girls in the theater. That was it. And near the end, we had a girl literally shriek out loud, which doesn't happen that much when I see horror movies.
Which is crazy. I'm sure it wasn't even. There's only like one jump scare in the movie, really. But I'm sure it wasn't even during that scene. It was just probably.
It was the chase near the end.
Yeah.
When the chase starts, that's
the headbutt.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So. Yeah.
It's horrific. Yeah, it's really, 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 really horrific. But it's
pretty strange, yeah.
Aside from it just being a great horror movie, I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, just stripping the, like, or putting the horror aside, like, just the family stuff, Toni Collette's performance.
She's awesome. Like, I definitely think she might get some Oscar attention.
For this?
Yeah.
She's really good.
Her character is pretty.
I don't know if she's ever gotten, she might have won an Emmy. But,
yeah, I mean, I'd say she deserves it.
I thought the casting was really great, just in terms of, like, all of the actors and actresses, like, looked scary, even though they were just normal people. Like, the little girl looks scary. Like, Toni Collette's, like, just has that, like, look to her that is, like, intimidating, you know?
Makeup.
No, she looks intimidating, like, all the time.
Also, the little girl,
she's Matilda on Broadway.
She looks scary.
Yeah, she does look scary.
Bless her heart. But
but you look kind of like a wolf brother in a nice way.
Yeah. But she's awesome, though. The kid.
No, there's like another thing. The pacing kind of reminded me of last year's Three Billboards, where like, and the marketing too, where it leads you to believe that things are going to happen one way, and then like halfway through the movie, something ridiculous happens, and it just has a completely different trajectory.
Yeah,
and I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said about the movie last week with Three Billboards.
Really?
It's back.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
But like, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's certain scenes that characters are reacting to something, and just their reactions are so good.
Yeah, it feels very natural.
Like you won't see any of like. Like, whenever there's something, like, horrific on screen, it's not like they're going to switch back to the person that's observing it, and they're just sitting there, like, slack-jawed, like, ugh! Like,
yeah.
They really convey that the people in this movie are horrified. And, like, they're, like, oh, my God. Just the pacing is great. I thought, like, it's a long movie.
It is pretty long.
And at first I'm like, I don't know, because it kind of started to feel like it was, like, maybe dragging in the middle.
I will say the third act did drag a little for me, but
a little bit.
That was one of my few complaints. But
I thought that they let it breathe. And in the middle, when I thought, like, oh, maybe this is dragging, I was seeing it through, like, this, like, horror lens. But really, that's when they were, like, just establishing the family dynamics more and stuff. And a lot of it isn't, like, there's so many scenes that, I mean, you feel tense just because of what happened prior and what, you know, you're expecting to come. But there's so many scenes that are just, like, them dealing with loss and grief as a family.
Yeah.
So.
It's pretty rough at times. Like, it's a very grim movie, pretty sad to watch. Yeah. And horrifying to watch at times. But yeah, I really liked it too. I think the third act, some of the revelations at the end, they come out of left field a little bit for me, and it slightly lost me, but I feel like on a rewatch that would be an issue. But yeah. I mean, I did really like it, and Toni Collette was probably my favorite part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just the family dynamics are fantastic.
Yeah.
Everything feels very natural and grounded.
Yeah.
Despite it being this really weird, kind of surreal film.
Also, the setting was awesome.
Yeah.
It took place, like, I couldn't tell if it was, like, Wyoming or, like, somewhere in Middle America. Or even, I don't know, maybe the Northwest or something. But it was all just, like whenever they're just, like, going about their days, like, the city and stuff. It's, like, not in the city, just through town, like, there's just, like, barren landscapes and, like, plains and then just, like, mountains in the distance and stuff, which I thought, like, you don't really see that in horror movies a lot, I feel like. I don't know. I just thought the setting was really unique, too. But there's something else I want to say, but go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean, I think how the family reacts to all of the different tragedies, and there is a lot that they have to go through, it just, again, it really rings true, I think, for the most part, and that just adds to the whole tone and atmosphere of it. And
I
think that the car sequence, the crash, is that was insane.
Yeah.
Like, his reaction and everything is fantastic. Yeah,
people gasped.
Yeah. And, like, I had people, like, at certain scenes be like, shh. Like, just really audibly in the theater.
Yeah.
It was, definitely one of the better films I've seen this year.
And
even if you don't find it, like, quote unquote scary, it's just really worth seeing.
And it's really hard to talk about this film without spoiling it. Like, there's a lot of things that I loved about the film, but if I got into them, like, I feel like it would spoil the film.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does play with your expectations a lot. Like, you really feel like it's going one way. Because they like, kind of harp a lot on, like, mental illness and stuff like that. And you kind of feel like it might be going that way, but I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a way of phrasing this.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, there's some, like, supernatural stuff near the end where they're trying to talk to spirits and everything like that, where you could easily put that into or it's been done in all the Paranormal Activity movies, and it just comes across as so goofy.
Yeah.
Everything. But in this, whether it's the direction or the writing, it feels completely genuine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. This movie reminded me a lot of The Babadook.
I think it's definitely a lot like that.
I like this a lot better than The Babadook, though.
I think I do too, yeah.
And I think that it was, at first it seemed like it was kind of going the same direction as The Babadook, but then it completely switches gears. And yeah, the stuff with, like, the spirit medium and all that, where it could come off as so corny and so, like, overdone. Once again, it goes back to just the family's reaction to all this. Like, when, I guess this is a minor spoiler, but they have a spirit medium. They talk to, like spirits or whatever. And the family's reaction to that isn't like, oh, wow, like they are terrified. You know, like, it's like how you would react to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, unsettling.
It's like, I just want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. You know? And I don't know. I really can't stress, like, you really should see this movie if you're even remotely interested in horror. Or, I mean, like, even, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, if you hate horror, I think because it is so scary, it might turn you off. But if you feel like you can power through a, like, really scary movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not at all like a jump scare
film. No.
A Quiet Place or something like that. It's very more in the realm of The Babadook or The Witch or Under the Skin, you know, which is, I guess, are all done by A24.
Yeah, I was about to say.
A24 is the master of horror at this point.
Yeah.
It comes at night. They also did that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Even Ex Machina has some horror elements.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they just, I wonder how much, like, input they have in these movies. Are they just really good at hand selecting?
They might be,
scripts and directors.
Well, they focus so much on, like, indie films and the auteurs, kind of. They probably look beyond the horror thing, which I'm sure helps. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going for, like, the super bloody jump scares, I guess.
Right.
So it appeals to a certain...
Well, I'm trying to remember what else A24 has done. I think they've done some of the David O. Russell films.
They've done everything. Everything that plays at the Chelsea, probably.
Yeah, they've done a lot of stuff that's played at the Chelsea, which
and they've
is why...
And they've, like, blown up, like, the last 5 years, I think.
Yeah, they did Spring Breakers.
Moonlight.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And, oh, and the score is great. It's just, it's, oh, yeah. It's very. God,
the music is excellent in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of brooding.
Yeah.
Kind of off key.
Yeah.
Score. It's great. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's very, it's pretty disturbing at times, both in dealing with them, how they deal with just real tragedies, and then also some of the reveals.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it works completely somehow. Yeah. I don't know how.
Yeah,
how
they like, did it. It's emotionally draining along with being, you know, just the same sort of like exhaustion that you get from a horror movie. You know, like it kind of assaults you on both fronts.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. 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 Chloe, you like.
I probably like it.
Yeah. I thought you would freak the fuck out.
No, I wouldn't. I'm really not that easily scared.
You sure?
Phil couldn't sleep at all. I saw Phil the next day. He's like, I didn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Phil's a scaredy cat, though.
I don't like gory stuff.
Oh, then.
Well, I know well, about the.
There's a little bit of. That is not even. That part is not even that gory. There's.
Yeah.
There's really not as much gore as you think.
Yeah, which, yeah.
I like scary. I like being interested by movies. I don't like the Saw crap.
No.
The needless.
No, there's.
So, I think I'd like it. Yeah. Kind of curious. I know what happens now. That might help me.
Yeah.
Also, I like how they don't, a lot of the scenes that, like, have stuck with me, the horrific things are kind of happening in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, there's a lot of, like, terrifying images and stuff, but they're not like they're not the main focus. Like there's a couple things feels like, yo, did you see that? And I'll be like, no. And they like look, like when they switch back, like look over there and you'll see.
Oh, how meta.
Mm-hmm. No,
but no, it's not even that. It's just like
I know, doesn't that happen in well anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean when there's the I won't spoil it, but when near the end there's the scene where a character wakes up in bed.
Yeah, that's
and there's something behind them. And
I didn't even see it.
Yeah, it's slowly revealed, kind of like in lighting. And like I had people like, oh no. Because it lingers there in that same shot for a while, and you just don't know how it's going to.
Yeah. And then like the next shot, you'll see like a piece of like cloth
go
by or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
It's very well directed.
God. Yeah, it is.
And it's his debut, right?
I think so.
Full length.
Yeah.
Also, just the end. I love the end.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a little, very.
It goes over the top, but
are the effects good?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean there aren't even that many, you know, which is a good thing.
I'm trying to think of like, there's nothing in the movie like in Quiet Place, you know, how you see the monster just like so lame looking and see. There's none of that type of shit. It's all like practical for the most part. But yeah, God, I want to like. Spoil the movie, but I don't because I want you guys to see it. But yeah, the end scene.
Cooper loved it, man.
I really did. Yeah. I really did. Because, like, it just reminded me of, like, a lot of, like, old school, like, horror. Like, this would have been a good movie to watch with, like, Rosemary's Baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so much of Rosemary's Baby and so much of this are not, like, horror. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like most horror movies. Like, just big horror movies you'll go see. And the first 30 minutes, it's, like, establishing stuff. And then once the horror starts, it just keeps going. And that's what happened with Quiet Place. And that's kind of why I didn't like it. But, you know, this lets you breathe a little bit. And that's why it makes it so much scarier. Because, you know, you kind of settle back in. And you go, fuck, what the hell is that shit? Like,
Yeah, and again, luckily, it's just a very well-made movie. It's just a great family. A look at a family kind of disintegrating because of loss and grief and, you know, jealousy, guilt, and just how they, the back and forth between them blaming a certain event on someone, then them, the other person, yeah, throwing it back. And yeah, you could completely see that happening with any family,
you know,
and who had gone through something like that. So
yeah,
definitely one of the better films I've seen this year.
Yeah.
Really would like to rewatch it.
But this and First Reform are like my films to beat for the year.
Oh, well, we have our listener question is about our favorite films of the year so far. So
really
perfect. Yeah.
Prior to this, it would probably be, cause I'm probably not going to stick around for that, but prior to this, it would probably be, You Were Never Really Here and then Annihilation. But nice. This is, I like these two, I think, better than both.
All the freaky movies are Cooper's favorite.
Yeah.
They all fit in the same nice little shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
did you guys see that A24's big thing with this movie has been, like, that calendar of, like, scary grandmas?
Oh, yeah.
I saw yeah. I think I may have mentioned that, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
yeah, I mean, that's about it for me. I mean, won't spoil it since these guys haven't seen it, but Brain had to step out. He was losing it.
He was so scared. Yeah. Suspense.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I give it 5 stars.
Good.
Yeah, so cool. Does Brayden.
Sure.
Yay.
But yeah, I think it's a 4.5 for me, I think, but it could definitely be a 5 on rewatch. So.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Yeah. Definitely in the same boat there.
Oh, cool. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, high praise.
Yeah, I'm going to cop that Blu-ray for sure.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, definitely going to get the blue. So... All right, well, I guess we can move on to our other review, which is Paul Schrader's First Reformed. And we have a clip for that one, hopefully, so take a listen.
I wasn't aware that I had offended.
Jesus didn't want our suffering. He suffered for us. Mm-hmm. He wants our commitment and our obedience.
Mm-hmm. And what of his creation? The heavens declare the glory of God. God is present everywhere in every... plant, every river, every tiny insect. The whole world is a manifestation of his holy presence. I think this is an issue where the church can lead, but they say nothing. The U.S. Congress still denies climate change? Where were we when these people were elected?
All right. First Reformed is written and directed by Paul Schrader. And stars Ethan Hawke, Amanda Seyfried, Cedric the Entertainer, Victoria Hill, Michael Gaston. Anyone else I'm forgetting? Worth mentioning? No.
Cedric Kyles.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a real actor, Henry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
he's an entertainer. Actually, I was surprised in this. He was pretty good.
Yeah. But he... And, I shouldn't have brought this up because I don't know enough. And Taxi Driver, didn't he cast a comedian in a serious role as well?
I think so.
Scorsese?
Yeah, well, the joint effort. Never mind. Keep going.
But the plot synopsis is a priest of a small congregation in upstate New York grapples with mounting despair brought on by tragedy, worldly concerns, and a tormented past. So, Chloe and Bryn, y'all didn't talk for the... First review, what did y'all think of First Reformed?
Mm-mm. You can go.
Why do I have to start? I don't know. The first half of the film, I watched it and I thought this is absolutely spectacular. I thought the dialogue was a bit heavy-handed in places, and it's heavy-handed throughout the entire film, not just the first half. But I thought it was interesting tackling issues sort of more current issues of social concern in this particular film, the First Reformed, environmentalism through the lens of faith. And I thought that was really interesting. So you had sort of a diehard environmentalist who's having these conversations with Ethan Hawke, who's a priest, reverend? I don't fully understand.
He's not a priest.
I don't think he's a priest.
He's a reverend, right?
I don't know. What did don't they, look at
reverend, I don't know. Minister.
It's Reverend Toller. Reverend, they refer to him as Reverend. So
yeah, must be it.
Dutch Reform. So like, I don't really know how they. I don't know.
These two strong wills are having, you know, this fellow who's committed his life to faith, and another fellow who's committed his life to the environment, and then the discussions that they have, and it's absolutely fascinating, and then. Pivotal moment in the scene, which I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the fellow commits suicide.
It probably is.
No, it's not, because it actually says it in the synopses of the film. It says, you know, this fellow commits suicide. And pretty much everything after that point, it sort of starts to go downhill for me. There's, I think, some really fascinating stuff still in the film. But there are a few scenes, there's one scene in particular, which is very sort of embrace of the serpent. Which I just kind of watched it, and it didn't, I wouldn't say it ruined the film for me, but its standing, in my opinion, dropped considerably. I don't know. I thought there was a very definite sort of break in terms of the first half and the second half of the film. And there's a lot of things that occur in the second half of the film. Well, yeah, but it's so sort of all, it feels very sort of all over the place in the second half of the film. And perhaps intentional, but it just, something still feels a little, I don't know, slapdash about it. It feels a little confused or muddled in terms of what it's trying to do. And maybe that's intentional on Paul Schrader's part.
How did you, what's, it's being compared or said as a companion piece to Taxi Driver. How'd you feel like it?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen Taxi Driver. The last time I saw that,
I felt like it did almost at times follow the beats of Taxi Driver a little too much, but I mean, it didn't affect the movie too much for me, but I think it's, did y'all get that at all?
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch of them that are like that at his films.
Yeah.
But this, like, I mean, there's,
I think this one
direct callbacks, like, seen Taxi Driver when he's looking in the mirror strapping up. Like, there is a parallel scene in this.
Yeah.
Granted, the film doesn't end up the same way as Taxi Driver, but it was definitely felt like it was in dialogue with it, where, and like, because it was his, like, he wrote both movies, like, I feel like he, like, has to be, like, hyper aware of that.
Well, he said he didn't realize it as much until he was editing. And then he saw it.
A likely story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. Well, Chloe, what'd you think?
I really liked it. Except I was a little thrown off by the same scene that Brayden was talking about, I think, just because it's not my, in my general periphery, that kind of thing.
Right.
But on as far as what we were talking about, I think they have parallels, and one of the underlying themes, if you just take it that way, is about, like, hope and stuff. So the different ending might have been like, this is where this character could go if this way, which is like the Gigolo movie. It's all, like, supposed to be like the same guy but taking different directions. So in that respect, this one's a little more positive in its nihilism. But
positive nihilism
and chaotic good.
I kind of consider myself an optimistic nihilist. So, there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There you go, listeners.
But that kind of itself, yeah, this movie was, like, a little much for me, just on a, trigger warning or whatever. Because, like, all of my anxieties, like, I can't go to malls because, like, I get anxiety attacks about, like, the consumerism and stuff. I'm not kidding. Yeah. So, it's a thing.
Well, no, explain that.
What is there to explain?
No, but, like,
the world is slowly dying and nobody notices.
I agree with that.
Or quickly. So it just drives me crazy. I just can't deal with all of it. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I should probably turn into one of those, like, off-the-grid mountain people. But anyway.
That'd be interesting.
But in that vein, you know, you see movies so you can see that other people feel the same way you do and it manifests differently.
We go to the movies to feel.
So, yeah. You know? Yeah. So for a little while, I was like, because I was kind of dying, like, hyperventilating. But overall, on the more important scale, I thought it was really well crafted and intentional, and I think it flowed a little better than Brayden thought it did. And I think the decline was warranted and made sense all the way through. And I liked the imagery. I liked how there was kind of no music, really. There's like a soundscape and all that music. And I thought rarely it works, but the kind of form of narration I really liked.
Yeah.
I think it worked well because you see he's kind of lying to himself and all that stuff. He's like the unreliable narrator too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really liked it. I thought the acting was really good. I'm a big Ethan Hawke fan. Yeah. I am too.
He's so good.
Yeah, I always have
that. He's very good.
I saw his Macbeth when I was like 6. It was just like playing on TV and I was like, yes.
Thank you, Ethan.
Except I always got, for a long time, I got his name confused with Stephen Hawking. Like, I just interchanged them. But the
very different, man.
But, no, I don't know, I really liked it. I really liked Amanda Seyfried, which I don't usually.
Yeah, she's kind of hit and miss with me, so.
Yeah.
But I did like her in this.
Well, it's interesting, she went from sort of 90s horror film ingenue to...
Mean Girls, Brayden, is what you mean by her.
Brilliant film.
Yeah.
Well, no, what was that other one, the terrible piece of trash that she did with Megan Fox?
Oh! I don't know, cheerleader movie. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Jennifer's Body?
Jennifer's Body, that's it, thank you.
Classic.
Yeah, but she did a few a few films in that vein, I think. And now
she's grown up.
I don't know if necessarily of trying to redefine, but she's pursuing much more challenging and interesting roles.
Like Mamma Mia too.
Well, she was, what was it, 2 years
can't
ago?
Can't wait. Most anticipated.
I can't we'll remember the again. Titles of any of these films, but the film that she did with Shirley MacLaine.
Oh,
2 years
the,
ago.
The Words or the Hours or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was at Sundance, yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Newspaper movie about Shirley MacLaine's like, I'm writing my own obituary.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know what you mean.
So,
just like,
so she was, I thought she was quite good in this and Cedric Kyle's, was sort of out of left field. I mean, there's a precedent for guys who are, I guess, traditionally comedians moving into these roles now. I mean, you've seen that with a lot of various films. I mean, the taboo probably to mention this, but Louis C.K. in American Hustle. And then you had, David O. Russell films, oddly enough. You had,
my favorite.
Oh, who's the comedian? The one that was in The Fifth Element. And he was in Rush Hour.
Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker, thank you.
Yeah.
And he was in, Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
And he was quite good in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you take these fellows who traditionally are comedic and you put them in these roles and they've actually done quite well with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the performances all around I thought were great. I mean, what sort of got me is like the first half of the film, I'm watching it and I'm really getting into it. And it seems like that, you know, okay, this is an interesting theme and looking at, various sort of current issues through the lens of, through the prism of faith and what role faith has in consideration of these very pressing issues, you know, again, in this case, environmentalism, but, you know, various, minority rights or things like that, women's rights, you know, what if you had looked at, say, the Me Too movement through the lens of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting things like that. But, so you have this fellow who, you know, Reverend Toller, who obviously has committed his life to, and sacrificed a considerable amount, you know, including his family, to his faith. And he's sort of a remnant, a throwback to a very more traditional concept of faith. But then looking at all this faith and the question of faith and what is faith and how does faith fit into modern society and all that seems to get totally left by the wayside in the second half of the film. So it's almost like bait and switch. And, you know, it gets up to the point where there's a suicide and then following the suicide totally changes direction. And I'm just...
Well, that kind of makes sense, though. If you...
Well, I mean, I thought the movie was pretty solid. I think that it, I definitely get what you're seeing with the, or saying with the, that midpoint break. And it kind of reminded me of how I felt about movies that kind of have a similar structure like Room and then also a little bit Beasts of No Nation where a character is developing and then there's a certain moment and then it either switches kind of directions thematically or character wise. And so then you kind of have to either start all over or a character gets to a certain point and they act that way for the rest of the movie because they've reached that goal. Of, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say I enjoyed the first half more than the second half, but I wasn't as kind of thrown off by it as I think you were. But I loved Ethan Hawke, although it does kind of confuse me at times how he goes about picking roles because he can be so good. Like,
let him live his life, Henry.
And then he can be in, you know, Getaway with Selena Gomez. And the Purge.
The Purge film.
And he's just terrible in it.
He said he makes like 5 times as much money if there's gun violence in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That
he has children.
Yeah, well, okay, do what you gotta do. Sure. But yeah, I love him in this. And... remind me a little bit of Silence, a little bit, just in terms of the religious.
Well, what was the film that he did a couple of years ago with Carmen Ejogo, where he played Chet Baker, some kind of...
Oh, Born to Be Blue?
Born to Be Blue, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was so good in that.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyhow, sorry.
I liked it quite a bit. Cooper?
Yeah, I like I was saying before during my Hereditary review, it was probably one of my favorites of the year. I thought that the shift halfway through the film, I thought that it worked for me. I thought that leading up to that, his faith was being challenged by this guy and his environmental concerns. his, like, this is much of a spoiler you see in the trailer, but his health is declining. He has to face past, like, incidents and past, like, things that have happened in his life. That's so redundant telling him. I can't really talk about it. But, so I think that he, when the character commits suicide, he's really susceptible to, like, an ideological shift. I think that just all these things culminating and chipping away at his character, I think it made sense for him to want to latch on to someone else's, like, passion. Mm. Once again, I don't want to get too much into it and give too much away with the film, but I really did feel like it was warranted, and it was, because, like, the first half of the film, he's so devoted to his faith, and then that seems to go to the wayside halfway through the film. But I think that he's leaving enough hints in his narration and in his diary throughout the film that it's not, like, extremely blatant that, like, yes, this is the way I'm going and stuff, but I think that he's doubting enough internally, as you can see through his narration and the dialogue, that it would make sense for him to, like, have this shift.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's realizing that he's dying, and he sees these other, like, men of the cloth around him, like Cedric the Entertainer, that are imperfect priests or reverends. They don't represent the faith that he stands beside. So I could see him seeing these environmental issues and stuff like that and wanting to potentially martyr himself for these because his faith doesn't mean the same thing to him after this, after the suicide. So I think that he, as something like, I don't know about much about, you know, the Calvinist Church and Dutch Reformed stuff, but as a Catholic, and there's a lot of parallels, like, guilt is a major tenet of that religion. And I think that a lot of times people confuse, like, reverence towards God and their faith with, like, the guilt that they feel for, like, doing things wrong in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the ultimate penance in his eyes was just being a martyr for something. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of different interpretations to the film, especially, like, the ending. The ending is kind of ambiguous and kind of goes off the rails a little bit. But I like that, where it kind of, it didn't tie things up and it left a lot of things open-ended.
Kind of like you were never really here.
Yeah. But I think even more so than...
Yeah, I loved the ending.
Yeah, I just think that it allowed...
I got major side eye from Brayden.
I didn't do nothing. I'm just dealing with a hangnail over here.
I really even like how...
He's here, ladies.
I really like just how it was edited. Like, I really...
Yeah, it's very well put together.
Like, I went and rewatched the ending again when Brayden was watching it. I just ducked in the theater just because I...
Wanted
really
to be close to
Brayden.
Yeah.
As we all do.
I was eating a croissant. I was trying to be really quiet. But there is, I mean, we've all mentioned this point, but there is a scene in the movie that isn't the suicide scene. There's another scene in the movie that is just bad.
Yeah.
It is just bad. Like, for a movie that is as well shot as this, as well edited as this, there's a scene where they just use, like, green screen, and it's like, it's just, I was just sitting there and I'm like, this is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody who has personal experience with I'll just say it. Hopefully it's not too much. But pregnant women was saying that what they
She actually is pregnant, just, though.
Yeah.
And see if he was actually. Really? Yeah, yeah, I didn't say it to the guy because I don't want to sound like demeaning, but she was actually pregnant.
Oh, I did not. But yeah, he was assuring me a woman who's 5 or 6 months along in her pregnancy could not lie.
Well, on she her could, Brayden. Like she that. Did.
Did she?
Yeah.
She was pregnant. Know.
That aside, the lying down and, like,
they're protected, that stuff, man. Right. I tell you, it's fine.
Okay. Up until the part where they start implementing the green screen images,
it's a little much.
That was.
I was okay with it until the green screen.
Yeah, same. I thought it was a little weird, but I didn't think it was like.
That it didn't ruin the film, but I saw that and I kind of went, oh god, it's one of these things again. And I mean, why do that? I mean, that's. That scene in Embrace of the Serpent is kind of what ruined that film for me. Because it's such a ridiculous device that certain filmmakers seem to rely on and use, fall back on, exploit. I don't know what you would say, but I mean, it's it's so goofy. Yeah. It's so goofy.
I think one of the strong suits of the movie was that it was so subtle, like it let the audience think and it incorporated these kind of vital issues in a very applicable way, like it wasn't thrown in there for the sake of doing so. Like it made sense, obviously, for the characters and the story.
Yeah.
And it also kind of grounded it in the world. And then when they did that, I was like, we know what's going on, guys. Well,
yeah. What I don't get is I feel like Paul Schrader has this great appreciation for classic film, considering he's made classic films, right? Like, the film is 4:3, which I thought at first was a little weird, but I actually liked it because I thought that, like, it framed things really cool.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Diary of a Country Priest?
No.
It's a French movie from, like, the early 60s. It's very similar, as you might be able to tell from the title, but,
anyway. But, yeah, he has this great adherence to, like, you know, classical film. It just felt really weird and out of place that he put in this, what the hell? I don't get it.
A scene like that is just so point. I think it would have been much more impactful just to have a couple of minutes of silence with the two of them connecting it the way they had.
Yeah.
And I just think it would have been the tension between the two of them and also the connection, the emotional, intimate connection between the two of them would have been a lot more impactful than what happened.
Through space.
Yeah.
Magic school bus style. Right?
We're watching The Room here, you know?
I don't know. The weird thing about it for me is, you know, and I'm a big fan of ambiguity in films, but the ambiguity in the second half of it, I'm not talking about the ending. The ending I actually kind of liked. It's still I'm still a little puzzled by it. And the one thing that he does, which again, I won't give away, not the first thing, but then the second thing.
Yeah. Oh.
And then he puts on his cassock over.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what that was about.
But
anyhow, I get the obvious connection between the two of them, but
I think the difference in you not feeling it and me feeling it, it's like, I don't think he became distant from his faith. I think it was the only thing he had left as he questioned everyone else seeming to ignore it. Like, I don't think he stopped. I don't think his, the way he felt about
God,
everything changed at all.
I never got the impression that he gave up his faith. Well, but that's what I was going to say, though. That's the thing, that the ambiguity that sort of got me is what happened in the second half of the film. Was that because he was trying to take over the role of Michael who had committed suicide, or was this because did he actually sort of find a different faith? And that brings on a lot of questions, which
I think it was a kind of inspiration because he felt so lost given how everyone else around him was acting.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Well, I mean, just thematically, it's very different. Depending on how you interpret it, it goes very different directions. One is a break of faith, a severance between him and his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is envy.
I didn't get either of those, Braden.
No?
Neither one.
That's kind of what I was trying to struggle with, is whether he was envious of this fellow who had committed suicide, or if he actually, because he was having such a massive crisis of faith, and then he broke with his faith, and then went this other direction.
Yeah, I thought the opposite. Because
he was sort of proselytized, if you will, by by the environmentalist.
Right.
So
I think, especially, he had the line in there that was like, why do we deny ourselves these, like, small pleasures or whatever, given, like, the end? I think it was him finally, or I think it was him coming to understand after a lot of, obviously, tension and how to go about carrying out what his beliefs make him feel like he should bring to the world. I think it was him finally realizing how to best interact with his faith in the way that can make life better, even though you can't do everything, fix everything.
Right.
So I guess I took some happy stuff and you took some sad stuff.
Well, hey, that's I guess. That's the thing about movies.
You know? But it is a movie. I haven't stopped thinking about it, like, since I saw it. And I had to call my mom. I was like, I'm too young to understand why he was fighting with this lady.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But that, two definitely Hereditary and this, both very thought-provoking films.
Yeah.
So, it was a crazy week.
Yeah, really. Well, I saw them back-to-back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. the double feature with Phil. Well, not like back to back.
Oh yeah, Passion Friday Phil.
Passion Phil. That's how he introduced himself.
Yeah, I was talking to him about it because he actually wanted to come on the show to talk about both of them because he loved both. And he brought up First Reformed.
Shut him down, Henry?
No, he was busy during this time. So, anyways, he gave me like a 10-minute lecture on everything. I was like,
yeah,
because I had just gotten off like a really kind of busy shift. I was like, I can't have. I just like I phased out after a second. I could not.
I process. Just want to go home.
Like, am I like a PhD at Harvard in a class? You know,
yeah.
You know, I mean. You know, more power to him.
In a class, wow.
Yeah, or yeah, I mean, in the right situation, I was totally interested, but like at the time, I was just like, what am I doing?
I love seeing films with Phil because he notices like this also kind of annoys me now that I'm thinking about it. He'll see a film
in a nice way.
He'll see a film and he'll notice a little thing in it and be like, oh, this is an allusion to like some text that was written 3,000 years
ago. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. No. And like, we'll see something like, oh, this is just like, you know, the Trials of Hercules or something. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I really doubt that that's what they were thinking of. He's like, it's so obvious. And then, but sometimes like he'll, for example, in Hereditary, he, like, when in the background, like, the son is sitting in class and the teacher is giving a lecture and they're just, like, name-dropping stuff and Philip knew exactly what they're talking about. And it actually kind of connected to the film. So that was kind of nice that he knew the whole story of what they're talking about. So, but sometimes he goes a little too far with them. I can't think of any examples
He's too smart.
Passion Phil at his best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the leash.
In his righteous place.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely a good, and another film that I would really like to rewatch as well.
Yeah, so. Well, in a matter of speaking, I think there's a lot there to unpackage. Process. I don't know if I'd want to watch it again. I mean, I probably will.
It's kind of like Silence.
I won't like it though.
Yeah, it's kind of grueling to watch, but it brings up so many ideas that it's worth it.
I just hope they in subsequent Blu-ray DVD releases, if they just cut that one scene.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Maybe
why
they'll have a commentary, and you'll find out.
Maybe do a fan edit.
I mean, even if the director has a reason for including it, shouldn't include it.
Right. Well,
no, I'm serious because you know, as a director, if you have enough of a broad knowledge of film and you've seen film, I mean, I saw this and I immediately went Embrace the Serpent. And I know there are other films that it's been in as well. But you watch this and you just go, oh, well, here are five films that have done this already.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe they were trying to spice it up.
Yeah. Not my favorite
scene. Didn't work.
Well, I'm telling you, it's just like Diary of the Country Priest, except for all the modern stuff.
I believe
you. But it's a good movie.
Cool.
It's in the Criterion Collection.
Oh, no way. A Blu-ray or a DVD one?
I don't know. Mm. What's the difference? Do they not have both?
It's DVD and Blu-ray. If it's DVD, not interested. But if it's Blu-ray,
not worth the watch,
I'm in. I'm in. So.
Whatever.
All right.
Brain changes next. He's like, what are you talking about? Blu-ray, I have 4K.
Oh, yeah. Brain's.
The tech I'm so far beyond your technology.
I'm watching my Oculus Rift in
4K. He's the tech head.
I'm watching it right now. It's streaming directly to my brain.
Yeah.
I have an implant.
Yeah. You guys saw First Reform. I saw Second Reform. Damn.
No, that's probably what Phil saw.
Yeah.
He saw the
Passion
sequel.
Phil.
Second, third, fourth.
Passion of the Phil.
Passion of the Phil.
That was a good reference there.
Yeah, good one. Star ratings? It's a 4 for me.
80? There's so much there.
I agree.
80, Henry.
Okay. Well, that's low for you.
I don't want to, I'm trying to be respectful. I feel like saying, like, 70 million handmade, like, porcelain pots is, like, disrespectful to the movie. I'm trying to keep it low-key. You know?
Fair enough. Right. Braden?
I give it 4. I was lower before, but the fact that I keep thinking about it. Well, the fact that I keep thinking about it, I think that's a mark of a good film is when you think about it and you don't just immediately sort of toss it away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I watch the Marvel movies, I have fun in them, but, you know, a couple hours later, I've completely forgotten the whole thing. But right. This, it really has stuck with me. I keep thinking about it. I watched it 2 days ago, and I'm still struggling with what a lot of the themes and the ambiguities were. Again, some of the directorial choices I wasn't, like, the writing was a bit heavy-handed at times.
I really like the writing.
The writing in some spots was spectacular.
I thought his diary stuff was,
It was
like classic priest talk.
Like his first conversation that he had with Michael, I thought some of the dialogue there was a touch on the stilted side.
But they kind of, stilted?
Stilted.
You mean like a little much though?
A bit much.
A bit extra.
But they address that because you said you found the level of conversation exhilarating.
Well, perhaps, but I don't know.
TBH. I know I talk like this sometimes, but when my family like sits down and eats and talks, it gets like really like that.
Well,
and that's why most of our conversations end in yelling in public. But
so a typical family.
I mean, that's kind of like our conversation at the dinner table as well, but I always sort of thought that I think our families are not necessarily the norm.
Oh, okay.
So your father...
yeah, that's not good.
Who's this nowadays?
Well,
I mean, the nuclear family really is
a little much.
All right.
Nuclear's well, come I mean, back to its your, roots.
Your, your father is what?
Crazy.
Well.
What?
I mean, he has what is his degree?
Oh,
he has
Asperger's. Oh.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Huh?
What is his degree?
Oh, he has like, yeah.
A billion.
Yeah, he has right? a few. like a cell biology.
My father has a master's, I have a PhD, so I don't think these are like normal
something.
Dinner table conversation. Type.
Okay, sassy pants.
I'm just saying. we're outliers. We're not necessarily the...
I don't judge people based on their...
He's not...
I'm not...
He's just saying that the average family doesn't have 8 degrees between two people.
Like, yeah. I don't think it's relevant. Everybody's got the same feelings. Whatever. Move on.
They do.
You're everybody like backwards has the same... complimenting. Well, everybody does...
No, everybody has the same feelings. It's just the question of how they convey True. Those, how they express
them. A lot of people choose not to. I have witnessed in, some of my friends' families, they just don't talk about stuff.
So I don't mean if I difference. Sound like a snooty bastard, elitist bastard, or something like that. But I mean, that's the point. Is everybody is the same? You know, it's just these are all things everybody thinks about. It's just a matter of how you.
Yeah, fair enough. It. We really digress there.
Yeah, we did. But no, it makes me think a lot. 4 stars. Love the movie.
We didn't get you up to 4.5 after that conversation?
No, because that of one scene yeah. just Come ruined on. It for me.
It wasn't that bad.
No, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was so pretty weird. Bad.
It was pretty bad.
I, too, was concerned about her stomach, I will say.
Yeah.
So I know it's fine in my brain, but
oh, I had a fellow who's had a child, and he said that when his wife was pregnant, she couldn't get anywhere near her stomach because the OBGYN said, I don't know.
Really? It's like the... All right. I don't know. It's fine.
Strange. You. Cooper.
I'd give it 4.5. Maybe I'd bump it up to that 4.75.
Ooh.
If it wasn't for that. Scene.
Yeah, one scene.
That one. I'm not, like, it's really bad.
It's really bad.
The rest of the movie is so good.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that it doesn't, obviously, I mean, it's because 2 minute scene is like, all right, you forget about it. But it's like, what the hell?
Come
like,
on,
you drunk at the editing table?
Keep it in. I don't care.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It'd be like if you watch, like, all of, like, Return of the Jedi, and then when like Darth Vader like takes his helmet off, it's like Carrot Top or something. The rest of the movie is good, but like, what the fuck? Like, why did you do that?
The one thing besides that I probably didn't like was the like Mary and Joseph thing. I thought it was a little heavy handed, more than the dialogue with some of that kind of stuff. But
right,
the Mary and Joseph,
like how she was pregnant.
No, like there's some like her name was Mary. Oh yeah, she was pregnant.
Yeah,
and then Joseph, his son was named Joseph.
Oh, okay.
Who are these people? Mary?
Mary? What?
Who are they?
Jesus?
Okay. This movie's garbage. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, Cooper, do you have to run? Or do you got a few minutes?
Let's see. I'll leave in 20 minutes.
All right.
So I can...
Were you eyeing anything good on my shelves there? My Blu-ray shelves?
Just checking around.
Anything you want to...
He likes the apple painting.
Oh, yeah, that is nice. What was I looking at?
Do you like that one behind Chloe?
It looks like someone's going to the gallows.
Yeah, I don't know
if I'm getting...
It's charcoal, though. It's very... It takes a lot of skill to do charcoal.
Oh, yeah, it looks like some BDSM...
It looks very strange.
I'm sure that was...
Yeah. I don't know. What's
that on the person? I've never looked at it. It's got a leather mask on.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
I don't know where we got it from.
Oh,
why.
Yeah, the hands are behind the back. This is true.
Yeah, they're going to the gallows. Or the dungeon.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's cool, though.
Wow.
Very ominous next to the Sesame Street.
It's called Hooded and Braided. Yeah, I was pointing at that.
Yeah.
34. Oh, that's kind of... Well, I don't know.
But it's a cool, yeah, cool, cool little piece of art there. Mm-hmm. So...
All right,
cool. Well, I guess with those reviews done, sorry we spoiled First Reformed a little bit, but I'll put that in the show notes. I don't think...
Was it Brayden? Yes.
No, it wasn't me.
Yeah, I will say, so suicide was not in the synopsis. Yeah.
Knew it!
But it's okay.
It says it in something I read.
Fair enough.
Visually, as in the movie itself, and that was it.
Fair enough.
It says it somewhere.
I know Roger Ebert something that I read. They always spoil the hell out of every movie.
They loved Hereditary.
Really?
Yeah, I think 4 out of 4.
Really? When did they get First Reformed?
I think 4 out of 4, too.
4 out of 4.
Yeah.
First Reformed has a very high rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yes, 98.
Like 98, yeah.
That's insane. Mm-hmm.
Can we take a moment to let Brayden tell us what he thought about Beast?
Well, he picks the week.
Huh?
Picks of the week.
That doesn't count for picks of the week.
Yeah, that's like, because you guys did that already last week.
Oh, I'm so curious. Whatever.
Oh, tell us.
No, 5 stars, seriously. I loved it.
That's awesome.
Well,
I knew
that part.
I liked it a lot, too.
Whatever.
But, alright, well, we move on to some news. So, there's some new trailers, a bunch of new trailers this week. I guess the first one, is there one y'all want to...
Just talk about the one you want to talk about, Hammer. We all know what it is.
No, I mean...
Charlotte's Web. Or what is it?
What?
The girls.
Charlotte's Web. I can't.
Charlotte's Web.
David Fincher.
Will do, kid. Will do.
Wilbur, it's escaping the slaughterhouse on this one.
Yeah. I have always been really afraid of Charlotte's Web.
But, yeah, so the first one, I mean, there are a bunch of new ones, but it was kind of a nice coincidence that we just talked about the girl with the dragon tattoo last week, and then the day after the trailer for the...
Well, that's what you meant. Yeah. That went way over my head.
Not that much of a coincidence. You talk about it a lot.
No, we did a review.
No, we reviewed it last week.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
That's right, the retro review.
Yeah, they just dropped the new trailer for The Girl in the Spider's Web, which is now the, I guess you can call it the second reboot of the Lisbeth Salander Dragon Tattoo series, now being with Claire Foy as Lisbeth, and then it's also being directed by Fede Alvarez, instead of David Fincher. So, what did y'all think? Now this is based off a book not written by the original author, which I just started reading.
Steve Larson.
After he died.
That's the original.
Right.
Was the original author.
Yeah. And then this is has been written by someone else as well as another novel. So, what did y'all think of this one?
Did not.
Poo-poo.
Like...
Yeah, not digging this one so much.
I'm not crazy about the series to begin with, and then I don't like Fede Alvarez. I did like his Evil Dead reboot, but Don't Breathe, I thought it was...
See, I prefer Don't Breathe over Evil Dead.
I hated Don't Breathe.
Really?
I mean, I really disliked it.
Hmm.
Just that scene with the turkey baster, I'm like...
Classic scene.
I've never seen shit, these like movies, but I'm over
a
it.
A fifth grader like, yeah, let's put it in a turkey baster. Ew. have you seen that movie?
No context for people.
No.
Yeah.
What is
I need none.
About?
I'm good.
Don't Breathe is about a blind old man.
Oh, that, like, film. Right.
Pregnant. Yeah. And you can guess what's in the turkey baster by that synopsis. It's gross.
Gravy.
Yeah, actually, they're cooking a Thanksgiving
turkey
dinner. Yeah.
It's a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep. Anyway, I don't know. The trailer line. She just looks so dumb. I don't know how to put it. She looks like,
I'm well, I mean, it doesn't.
Look at my leather.
It doesn't. It's so totally different from the first one, which I kind of liked David Fincher's. Because it was sort of a slow burn kind of thing. I mean, it's really, Fincher does such a great job with making sort of these gritty, I'm just thinking of, Zodiac.
Yeah.
And
that's a good movie.
Yeah. Very right. Good, yeah. And some of the other films that he's done, Seven and stuff like that. And they're sort of slow burn and it's really, he does a great job of building suspense and he does a really good job with that in Girl with the Dragon's Tattoo. And this one just looked like, action flick, and she's jumping into the bathtub, yeah. And guys are spraying bullets, and there's car chases, and people jumping off of tall buildings, and I mean, it's just kind of, it's not really
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, it's not really suspenseful. It's like,
topic,
you know, if Tom Cruise had happened to walk through the set, it would have been like, oh, it's a Mission Impossible. No, yeah. It's actually a girl with a spider's nest.
Spider nest in her hair.
But Tom Cruise, they got gunplay and car chases and
that'd
people jumping off of buildings.
They got Tom Cruise to do Elizabeth. Mm.
Tom Cruise
it.
Is Elizabeth.
Tommy
Wiseau?
That's
what he
needs. That would be awesome.
Yeah, he's already got the wardrobe.
That's true.
That'd be great.
Yeah, well, I mean, as
why you do this?
I'm the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Oh, hello, Michael.
Bang, bang.
Yeah. We reviewed it last week. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series is my favorite, probably, of any series out there. And so
of books?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a huge attachment to a lot of books. It's more just...
Oh, boy.
I mean, I love reading, but there's nothing that I hold as dear to me as... Or as in terms of, at least compared to movies, I hold a lot more movies closer than books, I would say. But, I mean, I didn't think it looked horrible, but I definitely think it was not a big step down. For one thing, she's not an action hero.
No.
You know, she can drive a motorcycle great, you know, and as they, you know, and she's, and you can kick ass when she needs to, but it's not at all like a Mission Impossible type thing, as y'all were saying. But I don't mind the look of her. I mean, like, there's the scene in The Girl Who Played with Fire, and it's from the books where she's covered in
the
white paint and these red stripes. And so, like, the opening scene where she has the guy hanging.
No red stripes.
I liked the look of that, and I didn't mind that at all, but I think the supporting elements look pretty generic. And so I think it's definitely lost that kind of elevated sense of mystery and intrigue. Because that's what we were talking about with David Fincher last week, where he can take like a trashy kind of airport bookstore novel.
That Henry holds so dear.
Yeah. He's talking about Gone Girl. You don't know.
Yeah. Like more so Gone Girl, and elevate it because of his direction and style. Whereas I don't have anything against Fede Alvarez, but I think it's definitely just feels pretty cut and dry and not that inspired. Aside from a few of the elements with.
Looks a little more formulaic. Car chase and gunplay, and then she. Kicks some ass, martial arts.
Jumps
in a bathtub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like Claire Foy. I think she'll be fine.
Well, and, she was so good in Unsane, and maybe she's good in this, but it just doesn't seem... After the intensity of her role in that, this just... The treatment of the character in this, it just seems sort of like crazy, genius... Action hero.
Yeah.
That was kind of the thing I didn't like about it too, is they're in this like rock and a hard place where like everyone knows who she is, but they're also trying to start their own version of it. So there's like so much explain, like a character, so they're like, oh, you're the girl who hacked computers and blah blah blah,
like,
blah blah blah.
Now she's famous and she's
like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's like what you do on Mission Impossible 8. Where everyone already knows. But this one did not.
And I mean, I'm perfectly fine with her doing her own new version, because we've seen
her accent's better.
Yeah, we've seen two already, and so I'm completely down with her, just not everything else, but a little disappointing, but we'll see. Maybe the final product will be better, so yeah.
Stephen Merchant's in it.
That's true, yeah.
And Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Cool.
But
is the journalist dude in this?
He's in it.
He's in
a different fellow. Who I've never seen before.
I haven't seen him either, which could be a good thing.
I like that.
I was just curious if what with Steve Larson not writing anything, if they had dropped back
in. Right.
Kept Elizabeth Salander. But.
Apparently, when he died, after he submitted all three manuscripts, he had been planning to write 10.
Right.
So this could be, yeah, I don't know exactly. But yeah, he is, the journalist is in this. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that one comes out in November, I think.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes score? What's the prediction?
I don't know.
I feel like they're probably going to be favorable to it.
Really?
I'm thinking a solid 67.
I'm
thinking 40s or 50s.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking low 70s. Because yeah. I feel like it is such a name brand that they're not going to trash it, yeah. I don't think. I don't know.
They weren't. Fincher's flopped at the box office.
Well, it made $250 million.
Did it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a box office
failure. I thought it was a flop as well. Well, I guess, relatively.
No, they didn't make another because they didn't make as much as it they hoped. So, technically, yes, but it still made over $200 million. So. But its budget was $90 million, which seems insane for that movie. But anyways. But, yeah, we'll see.
It's because they got Skarsgård. He had to pay him.
Yeah, yeah, must have been. Yeah. Not all Daniel Craig. Yeah. But all right, well, the other one, I mean, we could talk about plenty, but there's First Man, which is the new Damien Chazelle, Ryan Gosling
pass
team up about
and
Neil
Claire
Armstrong.
Foy.
And, yep, and Claire Foy with.
She's the new It Girl.
About Neil Armstrong. What y'all think of this?
Well, before you get into this, I'm going to be the first man. To go.
Oh, Cooper, you
have to go.
All right, man.
So,
bye.
You want to leave on air here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
All right.
All right.
All right, get the fuck out, man.
See you, everybody. All right, we're all handshaking right now. Henry just kissed my fingers. Like,
why are you married? And secondly, why is it all bullshit?
Yeah, I kiss everybody's fingers before we leave.
Yeah.
Kiss the ring. Kiss the ring.
Yeah. Chloe just spit out my feet. And Brayden isn't even
a lot of mixed reactions.
I'm a divisive character.
All right, man. Thanks for coming. Yeah. Yeah, drive safe, dude.
Oops, I knocked over my water onto the car. But it's just some ice.
Yeah.
Are you going to stop it?
Are you going to start cleaning?
No.
Okay.
It was just some ice cubes. All right. You might want to edit this one out, I guess.
He won't.
We'll see.
It's a thing. All right.
Bye.
See ya.
Ta-ta.
You know, ta comes from, well, actually, my sister told me this, and it might not
Cooper,
be true.
Cooper
apparently, it stands for thanks a lot. Gemma told me. She's very, well, no, she's not. That's what she told me. I'm not sure.
Get that McGriddle, man. On your way.
McGriddle. I don't know if they're any good. I've never had one.
I've never had McDonald's.
You should have an egg McMuffin at least.
No, thank you.
Once before you die.
I'm good. They're that's awesome. When I will die.
But, oh, so he's done Whiplash and La La Land, and which, I mean, I really liked Whiplash, and I thought La La Land was pretty good.
Whiplash is amazing. I don't understand how you can go from Whiplash to La La Land, though. That's puzzling.
What's the issue there?
We hate La La Land in this corner.
Why is that? I mean, I don't
terrible.
Love it. I don't love it, but.
Terrible movie.
Why?
Hated it.
Why?
Tried to watch it on 3 separate plane rides. Didn't get through it the first 2 times because I hated it so much. First
Why?
Time I got to... I just don't like the... Okay, first of all, as you know, I'm a huge fan of the classic, like, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, whatever. This, just a crap version of those. Just go watch the original ones.
Okay.
The dancing's bad, the singing's bad, the choreography's not impressive, I don't like the way it looks, there's like no, there's no actual story.
The representation.
There's a story.
I've heard that the representation of what they try to pass as jazz
music.
People
hate that.
In the film, people hate that.
I
don't mind that at all.
That's why the thing with La La Land and Moonlight was heightened, because everyone was like, this movie, that's just dismissive, it's gonna be, but then it didn't, and I was like, oh my god.
Yay, finally, some justice in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't love it, but I mean, I thought it was entertaining. I thought it looked great. I love Ryan Gosling and Miss Stone together, so I don't have at all the hate that y'all have, but it seems a little much, but...
I'm just not partial to musicals anyways, but I think this one in particular would have fit my sensibilities simply because, again...
I love that. Oh my god.
Again, the music in the film... And the fact that it's supposed to be set within sort of the jazz milieu, but none of the songs are really jazz songs. It's, I don't know.
And Kaylee hates it too, and I trust her.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Kaylee?
Her friend.
Brayden, she's my best friend.
Okay, I don't.
Yeah, Brayden doesn't. Like,
what the heck?
I'm not on the Facebooks.
She's beautiful and perfect and intelligent. She's my best friend.
The Facebooks or the tweeters or the...
Me neither. Well, I have a Facebook, but... And a fake Instagram, as we've been over.
Fastagrams or the...
Whatever.
Rapid Grams.
Well, I think... I thought this
show... He's written in questions. Cool. Brayden. I'm very defensive. She's my Ann Perkins.
Okay.
Who's Ann Perkins?
Oh, my God.
Well, let's not go down that rabbit hole, please. But I don't know, I thought it looked good. I mean, I think it... I like Ryan Gosling and...
I'm going to pass. You know what I mean?
What if we review it? Then he can't pass.
This happens all the time.
I like Ryan Gosling. I did like Claire Foy on Sane, but I'm not too keen on Sane.
You have to call him Rygos.
Rygos.
Yes.
Okay.
Strange.
Rygos.
No, you're saying it like it's a Transformer or something.
Rygos.
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 We'll try it later. You know he grew up with Justin Timberlake?
Rygos.
Same house.
Rygos.
Because he got a job on the Mickey Mouse house or whatever.
Rygos.
But he's Canadian and he needs a place to stay. And JT's mom's like, you can stay with us. And so they grew up together.
Hmm. Well, all right.
Rygos?
Yep, there we go.
It could be good. I don't want to say it's not good simply because of the subject matter. I mean, there's so many films.
Yeah.
What was it? Space Cowboys and Right Stuff. And
that big
Apollo
one.
I like the Right Stuff. I like the Right Stuff.
Interstellar.
I loved it.
With Timothy Chalamet.
Well, Interstellar was totally dead. That was like science
fiction. That's the only
real. Rather than science fact.
I don't know. Not sure about the moon landing, but I'm pretty sure Interstellar is a documentary. It's a joke. Oh, God. I'm kidding. Yeesh.
All right.
I'm not stupid.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
The silence here. See, I'm the kind who talks when they're nervous.
Oh, really? Never would have guessed.
I haven't said anything.
Yeah, I know. It's making me nervous.
All right. Well, we'll move on.
What else? Dumbo.
Well, yeah. We'll probably wait to talk about that next
week. No need to call people names. Yeah. Because you're nervous.
I'm
lash out like that.
I'm hyped for Dumbo, and Henry's not letting me talk about it.
No, because
the teaser was full of info.
Are they doing another live action?
It looks beautiful.
Insane.
I've never seen the original Dumbo, though.
Is it a live action Dumbo?
Yes.
What? Why?
I don't know what Dumbo's about. I went on the ride once, and they mistook my stepbrother for my husband.
Find an elephant.
And my niece. No, it's CG, my friend.
Yeah, and it's so cute. No, it looks good, though. I was hoping it's going to be animatronic.
I was going to say, where'd they find it? Because
that's
elephant
what I would want from
fly.
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Well, there's...
Wait, Tim Burton's doing the new Dumbo?
Yeah!
Okay.
With Colin Farrell and Danny DeVito.
Oh.
And it's going to be so good.
Is Eva
Danny
Green
DeVito.
In it?
Yeah, and Eva Green.
Okay, good.
She said, yes, it's going to be dope. Those three people, well, especially Colin, no offense.
Well, I like them.
Colin Farrell and Eva Green, they're like the king and queen of like pleasant darkness. I don't know, it's weird, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I don't see Colin Farrell as the king of pleasant darkness.
Is that just because he was in Fantastic
Beasts? I mean, Eva Green, I can understand. I mean, she was in Penny Dreadful, and she did Miss Peregrine's thing, and all that kind of stuff, and she did Second Sin City. I've always liked Eva Green. I mean, back when she was a Bond girl.
She's good as the Bond
girl. I loved her in that because she wasn't sort of the traditional Bond girl. Casino Royale, I still think, is my favorite of all the Bond films. Like, all of the Bond films.
Until this new one.
I don't know. Spectre was pretty
blech. I love Danny Boyle.
Oh, is he doing the new one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It might actually be good then. Because Spectre was a major letdown, particularly after Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
But Casino Royale is still my fave Bond film. But she was so good in it. So, Eva Green, I highly approve Eva Green. I do like Colin Farrell, highly approve.
Danny DeVito
can be good. I like him.
He was the ringleader in my favorite movie, Big Fish.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton's Big Fish.
Not a big Tim Burton fan.
Well, I am
well established. I am not a Tim Burton fan.
Well established.
Moderately liked Big Eyes. Kind of like Big Eyes. I haven't seen Big Fish.
Oh, you should, man.
You've never seen Big Fish? My eyes just fell on my head.
That's what you should.
It's like my favorite. Check out. Modern whatever movie.
Okay.
Period. Since I was like, when it came out, when I was like 7.
Well, I'll try to watch it then.
Oh my God.
Jeez, don't
you have to. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it.
Okay.
Oh my God. The cast alone. And oh my God. Also by my favorite author, who lives here. So, not in this house, but you get the idea.
No, he lives here.
He lives here. He's in Henry's basement.
But, yeah.
Henry throws him, you know, food scraps from time to
time. Yeah, and Passion fills in the attic. Oh, we didn't talk about any of that on...
You're here ranting and raving coming from the attic at night, from the basement during the day.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy. Well, what else? There's that new one. Did you see the new Lenny Abrahamson?
It looks all right, yeah.
Looks good. Donal, bringing everybody back together. Frank Reunion.
Oh, there's Halloween, the new Halloween trailer.
Nobody cares.
I was in for that.
Nobody cares.
I was in for that. But there's a lot of trailers.
I can't keep track. Is this... How many reboots of Halloween are we having now?
No, it's still Jamie Lee Curtis. This... Does it count as a reboot or a reboot?
Oh, she's coming back to kill him.
Is that it?
It's being done by David Gordon Green.
Okay. Really?
Weird.
Yep, who did Stronger. And
that's weird. So,
it is. I mean, the guy's a strange... Pick strange films to do,
What other trailers? Or is that it?
That might be about it, but...
I feel like there are others, but I have big news, so...
What's the news?
So, it's been 3.5 weeks. Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson are now engaged. Crazy!
Yeah, when I saw that news, I was relieved.
It's great! No, they're such a good... I ship it, as they say.
I wish people could hear the look on my face.
Brayden, you're here for it. Yes. Yes. But, this one... Oh, yeah. My parents were engaged after a week. So, 3 is, like, a millennium.
I used to work with a woman in New York who... I think she got married after, like, a couple days or something.
Wasn't my mom?
No.
Yes, it was her.
I did work with your mother, actually.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's what I've been
seeing. Isn't she a wonderful lady?
She is.
Yes. Yeah, she's so nice.
Very nice lady.
Everybody when I was there... No, there's one person who I didn't like, but that's a different matter. But everybody else there was super, super awesome.
I want to know who the one person is now, because I definitely know that. I was like the Eloise.
You wouldn't have known her.
Brayden, I was the Eloise of Southern Season. I knew everyone, except you. I guess. I might have known you.
That would have been weird if y'all had known each other.
Yeah, it would have been, right?
Well, she was tiny. I'd be surprised.
Were you at the first one or the second one?
The first one.
I remember last people. You know the guy... Do you know the guy who got struck by lightning?
No. You mean Chris, the maintenance fellow?
This is...
No.
This is a riveting podcast.
Yeah, I'm...
Were there 2 people who got struck by lightning?
No. It's just I vaguely remember some story about him, which may not have had something to do with lightning. It's been a while since I worked there. It's been almost 20 years since I worked there. So.
Yeah, I loved that. I like the original story. It was kind of dark and creepy in a nice way. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah.
Like if Tim Burton had made it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Wait, which department did you work in?
Grocery. I was the guy that's restocked all the cheese straws. You laugh, but no, I'm serious.
Oh,
I was king of snack land.
All right, I spent most of my time in the candy department, as you might understand.
Oh yeah,
okay. So you knew Joyce and
yes.
Did you know Will? Because Will worked at candy department.
Which Will?
Will Davies at the Chelsea.
Same Will?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. My mom might know that. I didn't.
Yeah.
Joyce was like. Yes, he like did, my grandmother.
He was the sample guy.
Really?
Yeah, he worked there after I worked there, so I didn't meet him.
Sorry, Henry. Sorry.
Anyhow, okay. We have I really did grow up here, though. Rails.
You know, single mother.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time there.
Hmm. Cool. All right. Well, we can just move on to some mail with that done. So...
do I have other news?
The FilmBuds podcast at gmail.com is the address that you can reach us.
Wait, I have one more news. All right, Brayden will like it.
Let me finish though. Also, before we go too far, also on Twitter at FilmBuds, and we'd love to hear from you. Chloe, what's up?
Brayden, this is just for you.
Okay.
Okay. Leah Thompson has proposed Marvel does a new Howard the Duck.
Enough said. So.
No?
Pass.
Brandon has had great eye rolling today.
I watched the original.
We haven't seen each other in like a month.
Oh, that's fair.
I watched the original Howard the Duck in the theaters way back in the 80s when it first came out. And it was so atrociously bad. So atrociously bad.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything ever that could redeem that. Like, ever. It could not be redeemed.
Second one's on the way. We'll see.
I know.
They remade Little Women. Did you see that trailer?
No.
They've remade Little Women to be like modern day. It looks really bad. Leah Thompson's in that. So just keep going. Sorry.
So we'd love to hear from you. Sorry, we're getting a little off track here. Whatever questions, comments, we'd love to hear from you. Always a nice thing to see them in my email inbox, you know. But so the one we have this week is from Dawn. And
Dawn?
From Dawn.
D-O-N or D-A-W-N?
D-O-N.
D-O-N.
Dawn.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, hi, Don. We're no location. He could be in my attic.
Attic for with Passion Phil.
Up there with Passion Phil.
Yeah. A little typo here. So he says, "What's Phil Henry, Butts?"
You always call people out for their typos.
It's too bad. He said, "What's Phil Butts?" Yeah, I think he meant to say, "What's up?"
What's Phil up, Phil Butts? Yeah, you can infer that. Ugh.
Sorry, my mother was an English teacher.
Yeah, the same with me. It's awful. I get emails at work and they just leave keywords out. And I got an email yesterday from somebody asking about, do you have your trailers on this and do you have your posters up in the lobby and all this kind of stuff. And he left out a few keywords. And I responded to the email, I'm not sure what the question is.
All right.
But.
You guys.
Yeah. But he says, seeing that we're about halfway into the year so far, I was curious as to what your favorite films of 2018 are so far. And are there any that you are still really looking forward to? For me, my top five are Hereditary, Annihilation, Black Panther, Revenge, and You Were Never Really Here.
Did Cooper write this in?
No. I really have fun with the show, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Yeah. So.
I would say You Were Never Really Here is up there. Beast. Absolutely Beast.
What library? And I want to know.
You'll find out soon.
All right.
I like the film.
Yeah.
Thought it was very good all around. I mean, what more?
I don't know. I'm just kidding. Never mind.
You guys did the review last week. I'm not here to do a review.
Fine.
I like the film 5 stars.
Yeah. For me, Isle of Dogs is definitely there.
Isle of Dogs, yeah.
You Were Never Really Here, Hereditary. And then also there's a movie I've talked about when I went to Sundance called Never Going Back, which is a coming of age comedy about these two girls in Texas, which was awesome. It's kind of like a...
What's it called?
Never Going Back.
Is that the one where they're going to Galveston and it's really trashy looking? They're like going to the beach, they're waitresses, and they're going to the... That looked horrible.
It was fantastic. It was I could not... Like, I think it's done by A24, but it was awesome. Like, it was incredibly funny. Just looks very...
nasty.
It's not at all, really. It's very inspired.
I did like Annihilation a lot. I don't know if I put that up on the top.
Yeah.
Top, but I mean, it was good. I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah. Annihilation would be there, and then Revenge, which Don mentioned, which is the French kind of exploitation revenge.
Yeah, I wanted thriller. To see that.
It's on Amazon if you want to rent it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty solid. And then, like, Tully would be there, probably. Yeah. Chloe, what about you?
I can't remember any movies that came out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I feel like there was something that I saw that I absolutely fell in love with, but I can't recall what the hell
That's how I feel, too, but I can't think of a single one. So, LOL. I guess there weren't LOL. Any good ones. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think
man, what was even this year? I think that's the problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are halfway into the year, so.
Well, you saw YSU talk about it next week, but.
Ocean's 8?
Yeah.
Dope movie. I don't think that'd be, like, that up there, though.
Yeah.
First Reformed would be up there.
Yeah.
Honestly. I can't remember crap, though, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think.
Maybe I'll go through our podcast list and try to see.
Well, so far this year has been a little underwhelming. I think there's been a good bit of solid films, but nothing really great. And so hopefully there will be a few things coming this year that will be raise the bar a little bit. But yeah, so far 2018 hasn't been.
Some good TV, though. You know I'm more of a TV person.
Yeah.
Overall. Killing Eve, great show. Oh, probably right. My favorite show of the year so far.
Really?
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, I mean, it's, they're...
And Queer Eye.
Yeah.
Same thing, basically, so...
And then, yeah, I think that's about... And then I liked Unsane.
Oh, I liked Final Portrait, Sam.
Oh, yeah, right.
Love Final Portrait, so that makes one of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was a fan of Unsane.
See, but... I'm already at last year. What the heck? I guess I just didn't like that much of him.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked... No, I'm not going to say Annihilation, honestly.
Really?
Really, really, really.
Why?
I liked it, but again, I don't know if I put that, you know, my fave picks of the year so far. I mean, the big thing is we haven't gotten to Oscar season yet. That's still about 3 or 4 months out, so.
Mm. I'm surprised. I don't know why First Reformed came out just now, like when it did. Mm.
Well, I don't know, because I think it's such a small-scale film, and a lot of Oscars is politics now. If you look at
any of the trade mags,
they're taking out like full page glossy ads to advertise for films that they want to push for the Oscars.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always for your consideration.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah in this film or, you know, director, blah, 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 director of this film, you know. So it's a lot of politicking, and I don't know that necessarily Paul Schrader would want that, or necessarily the studio would throw a lot of their weight behind that film.
True.
I mean, you get a lot of I think absolutely Oscar worthy performances earlier in the year, and a lot of Oscar worthy films, but they're not going to get the consideration of the films that come out with the full studio support. Because I mean, when a film comes out, you can look at it, you can watch it, and say, oh, that's, you know, Shape of Water came out. Oh, that's Oscar stuff.
Yeah.
That's Oscar fodder, right? Lion came out a few years ago. Oh, that's Oscar fodder.
Lion was... Oh, I liked it more than you, right?
Yeah.
Lion?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, the first third of the film or so I thought was interesting, and then the last half of it turns into life.
That's how I feel.
I will say, definitely better as a book. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
I feel like
it would be. Yeah. So, we'll...
Man.
Keep you posted. I mean, there's a few things come out in later part of the year that could be good, but still, so far, not
Peter Rabbit. This year.
Brilliant. Brilliant movie.
Which they showed, that's the one they showed Hereditary in front of by mistake.
Oh, that's right. Hereditary trailer. That's right. Whoops. Yeah.
Well, sorry for that really lame answer, Don. I'm just... You can't answer for Don.
You're not Don. You don't know Don's.
Really what's sorry. Going on in Don's I literally mind. Just can't. I'm not very good at thinking on my feet about like physical things. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I think you named a few, but I mean, otherwise, I just don't think.
I named literally one. We literally just saw.
Well, there haven't been that many great ones.
I guess
really,
that's true. You know? I guess that's true.
And
there haven't really been any absolutely outstanding.
I liked Ready Player One.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking, I said, I could do Ready Player One, that's still not my favorite.
But
Ready Player One.
I'm talking about the book, so yeah. I guess so.
But, all right, well, cool. Well, thanks for the email.
Sorry, Don.
No.
Don, try again next week.
Send it. Oh, he's probably done at this point. Yeah.
That answer is unsatisfactory. I will never listen to Cold Bunch again. Terrible, terrible people.
But
yeah.
One star.
Right, you're hating today. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we can just do our picks of the week. I actually have a good bit to talk about this week, or good, cool things to talk about. But should I go first, or y'all have something you want to mention?
Let me go first so that the precedent is really low.
Okay.
Because I haven't really watched anything.
Me neither.
Much. I watched the rest of Kimmy Schmidt, except guess what? It's only half a season. I was really mad about that.
It's the final season, right?
I was really salty.
It's the final season, so I guess they're breaking it into two parts.
What the? Oh, I was so mad.
I've only watched the first four or five episodes.
Yeah.
So that was my pick as well, so I'll just say that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt's a great show.
It is. It's fun.
Yeah, well,
it's so, a lot of fun. It's like everything you want. Like, it's just like, yeah, the world is not that bad. Like, you're just such a good... And it's so well-written. Tina Fey, to me, is like queen.
The writing is
it's
very good.
It's so well-written. It's like, it's kind of similar to 30 Rock, but to me more appealing. Maybe just because it, I don't know.
It's so, like, goofy. The premise is so goofy and preposterous, but somehow it's fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, my. And I love Ellie Kemper. So, her book just came out. I got her book on that pre-order. I've been checking my mailbox every day. Boy.
What book?
Ellie Kemper's book.
Well, I mean, what is it, though? Like a memoir? Or
is it is it a memoir or is it just like a...
Yeah. I tried to go to the Flyleaf, the local bookstore. I didn't this time because I really wanted it. Anyway. I've also just been watching a lot of YouTube videos, like that show Hot Ones.
The Johnny Depp Letterman interviews?
No. Oh, yeah. You did that last week. I'm watching... Yeah, because I just have only had, like, a few, you know, like, half an hour to spare at my house, like, throughout the day, whatever. So I've been watching, Hot Ones. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you should watch the Charlize Theron one. Anyway, basically, he, like, does interviews with celebrities, but they eat hotter and hotter. Oh,
that's the
Funny or Die. No,
it's not Funny or Die ones. Yeah, never mind. I was confusing that because whenever I'm on YouTube, it always recommends that, and then there's always, like, a Funny or Die video right next to it for some reason.
Yeah, my recommended... It's like bingo. You'll see at least one Queer Eye video, probably one Timothée Chalamet video. There's like a few things that there's always one in the recommended.
Hmm.
And I don't know how to feel about it, but like, okay, I get it. Anyway. But yeah, so Hot Ones is good. They like, it's interviews with celebrities. They're usually like 20 to 30. And they're eating
spicy food, right?
Yeah, they eat progressively hotter and hotter wings.
Hmm.
Which obviously, sorry, that was rude, but I've never had them
for
a variety of reasons. But they start on sriracha, and they're like, oh yeah, start off like, if I smell sriracha, I'm done. Like, I have the lowest tolerance in the world.
Wow.
It might also be
I don't have a very high tolerance, but I like sriracha, and it really doesn't.
Oh my God. Look, I literally started sweating thinking about it. I hate hot food. Yes. Anyway. And I've been watching a lot of... I, like, love Conan. I've just been watching a lot of Conan repeats.
Nice.
He's just, like, my secret... Conan's, like, my favorite.
Yeah, no, I like Conan as well. I wish I could watch
Conan. He's so smart, and he's so nice, and he's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's hilarious.
And he does good things with his platform as well.
Yeah. He seems so.
So, YGG.
Yeah.
Jordan Schlansky.
Sound it out.
Have you seen the Jordan Schlansky ones?
Don't think so, no.
There's so much good Conan.
I don't doubt that, yeah. Well, I have a few things I'll talk about. So, well, first, Chloe, the big one that you'll love. I rewatched Lady Bird yesterday.
Yes, Henry. Amazon Prime.
It's like, all right, I have an hour and a half to kill.
And?
I still really like it. My mother, like, was through the roof about it.
Yes.
But I still really like it. I think it does just feel its best... aspect is it just feels very genuine with everything, you know. I really like Saoirse Ronan and Laurie Metcalf, and they're great together.
Yes.
And I do find it to be pretty consistently funny, which doesn't always happen with these coming of age films. But yeah, really quite good. I mean, not, you know, favorite movie of the year, but still very always been entertaining. Just hour and a half, you know, in and out.
Yeah. I love an in and out movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Probably why I like TV so much.
Yeah. But yeah, that one's on Amazon Prime if you want to check it out if you haven't. And then the one I was telling, actually I have two Neil Gaiman things to talk about here. So the first one I came across, How to Talk to Girls at Parties on Amazon, which is available to rent. Was just
Neil Gaiman wrote that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so funny. Because normally I associate him with things like American Gods.
This is a little sci-fi. So
oh, is it?
Yeah. It's not. Like, it's not a.
It's not a how-to.
It's not a romantic comedy. Yeah. Although it kind of is. Yeah. Anyway, so this is about a group of young punks in England.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Now I did see a trailer for that at one point. I'm sorry, I don't mean to.
No, you're fine. The main character is a young punk named Henry who likes the Ramones and Sex Pistols, and who also likes to wear skinny ties and Converse, so somehow is able to relate. But
Brain literally just shuddered.
Yeah, and they're very involved with the kind of British Revolution and the punk rock scene in the 70s, and come across one night
my least favorite actress,
a group of aliens at this house, and one of the main characters played by Elle Fanning, and the punk rock guy gets involved with this girl, and it's all about their worlds colliding. And it's a very small scale movie, but it's very ambitious, probably ambitious to a fault, in terms of the designs and the costumes and some of the, just the style. But for the most part, at least for me, it worked actually quite well. And the love story between Elle Fanning and the main character is actually pretty good for a movie like this. So it was surprisingly a cool watch and a fun watch, a little long, even at, I think maybe an hour and 40 minutes.
42,
yeah. But I could totally see why. I think it did get kind of divisive reviews when it came out. But I can totally see why some people would be completely kind of not into it, but for whatever reason I was. But it also brings up some interesting ideas about the idea of punk music and that ideology. And it's, for the most part, again, it works quite well.
So. Was it always with the guy?
No.
Like, is Elle Fanning just a device?
No, it's both.
Are you sure?
It's both worlds, yeah.
Okay. No, yeah. I know the world.
No, but, no, I okay. mean, it's both.
All right.
Both kind of characters.
But when it's her, is she just having to do with him?
No. No, it's her also breaking free from that world as well. So it's two storylines.
All right.
Then they kind of come together, so.
All right.
Jeez. But, yeah, so that one's on Amazon. It might be in maybe a few select theaters somewhere.
And somewhere.
Then, yeah,
somewhere. Maybe I'll repeat in Nicole Kidman's second theater.
Yeah, and Nicole Kidman is in it as well, very briefly. But then I rewatched Ghost Town, which is also on Amazon
Prime. With Ricky? Yes.
Which is a bit of a family favorite.
Yee.
And it is, again, one of these comedies that's very generic in structure, but it...
It's got heart.
It's got, yeah, very... Great heartfelt scenes, and also Ricky Gervais is hilarious in it.
Always. Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill makes a little cameo.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, surprisingly good for a movie like this, just a mainstream comedy. But yeah, always a very fun, kind of easy watch, and that one's on Amazon Prime
Love
as well.
Ghost Town.
So definitely give that one a look if you haven't, if you need a laugh. And then, because I was house-sitting the last couple of days, and so I was just kind of trying to find stuff on TV. And so I rewatched the Lego Movie, which I still...
That's fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah. I still like a lot. I think it's pretty consistently funny as well. Definitely the third act really goes on way too long.
Really?
Like, yeah. Maybe it was
Brain loves every second of it.
I like it a lot too. I mean,
I'm a Lego fanboy.
Brain, you weren't here for Deadpool. I just realized that.
No, I wasn't.
That's heartbreaking.
Right.
Did you
see
it?
I was trying to. Yeah, I did. I've seen all the films that we're supposed to watch.
That makes it worse, Brain. That makes me really upset.
Well, when you wake up and there are issues. Well, one day I woke up and I actually did feel
terrible. You're a responsible man.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But, yeah.
You also get sick on occasion. It's one of those two things.
Well, that happens, you know.
Well, no, yeah. I did. There was once I felt really awful. And then last week it was because there was... something payroll issues, and then it's like nonstop stuff I have to deal with at the theater.
Yeah.
Well, me bonkers.
You got a lot on your plate, man, you know?
Yeah.
So anybody would be, you know, straining under the weight
of it.
So I was
going to say, we could do this at the theater.
They let?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm down.
I'll tell you afterwards. But, but yeah, I think that's about it. That I watch.
We can have an audience. Like, wait, don't tell me.
Oh, God.
I don't know if that would be a good idea.
Yeah. But, Brent and Brayden, just Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for you?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Cool. I've been watching The Toys That Made Us, which is a little documentary series. It's just like a silly little frivolous documentary series on Netflix, which is funny because Kimmy Schmidt had that one episode, which was like a faux Netflix documentary.
Which was so funny.
So meta. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, it was really funny.
It was really well written, too. I was at first, I was like, oh, I roll. Like, I was not happy about that episode. Yeah. It was still really, really good, yeah.
Mm. Mary was a little puzzled by it. But I thought it wasn't sort of like laugh out loud, but that was sort of the tongue-in-cheek aspect of the fact that they presented this as a supposedly legit
Nerdflix
documentary.
Or something. What they call it? I don't know.
No, it was actually on Netflix. They said Netflix.
Didn't say
it was
that.
It was a Netflix documentary. You go back and watch it again.
No, it wasn't. It said like ScreenFlix. It did.
Mark
my words. It said ScreenFlix.
But was I going to say? Oh, yeah, but Burn, why, so why'd you like Beast?
Yeah.
I don't know. The cinematography was really good. I thought the characters were really well done. Mm-hmm. And they weren't just sort of one-dimensional, like,
You think he was one-dimensional?
I don't think so.
Pascal, the terrible boyfriend?
Pascal. Yeah.
Yeah, where'd that one come from? No, I think he actually did have some...
I guess he did love her.
Some emotion, some feeling, something for her.
Yeah, yeah.
But something was so fundamentally broken or flawed in him. And she was sort of the same way, but whereas he gave into his darkness, she felt some remorse and was trying to do something about it, which is why the film culminated the way that it did.
Right.
And man, was that was an intense scene. And then the scene where the two of them are at the, mm-hmm. the restaurant by the seashore at the end of the film, that was an intense scene.
Yeah.
And it's so gripping. And the whole time you're just kind of going, oh man, oh, this is so uncomfortable, but it's not like.
Like a massage.
Yeah.
I've only ever had massages in airports, so I don't really know.
That would be super uncomfortable.
It's very strange, but yeah. It happens a lot. Not like in the middle of an airport, like in the upstairs places.
Oh.
Like the Admiral's Club.
The upstairs places.
The upstairs places.
Like American, the Admiral's Club?
You mean like in the attic with Passion like Pill?
No, I don't. The American Express lounges have massage places.
Oh, really?
It's really weird, yeah.
I don't spend a lot of time in airports, no. And I particularly don't spend a lot of time getting massages in airports. So this
my
is
mom
not something.
Made me.
Brandon, you gotta get into it, man.
My mom made me. I've never had a massage before.
Next week, we'll be coming to you live from RDU. Yeah. Where we'll all be getting massages.
They don't give them in RDU.
What?
Of course.
Right. We'll have to go somewhere.
A problem that needs to be rectified. We need to go. We need to talk to RDU.
Of course, petition. Our airport is not the one that does it.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Too bad.
Oh, cool.
I did see Henry Winkler in our airport, though.
Really?
So.
Interesting.
That was fun.
Hmm.
But
the writing I thought was spectacular. The cinematography was great. The sound was great. Excuse me. Again, it was just one of those films that all around was so remarkable. And it makes you uncomfortable. And it, deals with some very dark subject matter without...
pounding it in your face.
Without hitting you over the head with it. Without... Mm-hmm. Trying to get into this sort of this grim, sort of macabre
kind of thing.
Yeah, sort of self-indulgent macabre, going for easy shocks.
Now, did you see the Beauty and the Beast thing?
Yeah.
Okay. J-check him.
Sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
It's
not like an intentional.
I think it is intentional. I think it's really sewn in the seams there.
Really?
I do. Huh. And even just now when we're talking about his name, how his name's all like grandiose or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely to that, yeah.
The bit where he talks about, you know, he was from a long line of sort of royalty who had owned the island and all this kind of thing.
So I do kind of like, it was kind of making up for the...
Not a fairy tale.
More morals
not a fairy tale
of
ending.
The Disney thing.
Yeah.
Where he's actually perfect.
Yeah,
or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though he kidnaps people and stuff.
This is more like a traditional Grimm fairy tale.
Right, but with a better ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As it were. So.
Well, I take it you've read the original Grimm fairy tales, right?
I have,
not
yes.
The, yeah,
many
not
of
the
them.
Watered down.
My least favorite is Pinocchio. In case you were wondering.
Del Toro's been trying to get a Pinocchio movie
was
made.
Was that a Grimm? Was that a Grimm fairy tale, though?
Was it not?
I don't think it was.
It's really
Pinocchio.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
That's
but I don't think
very
it was.
Strange.
Was it not?
No.
I don't.
There's some
we
other.
Had a, you'll be shocked. We had a, and I know it was the real ones. We had the entire thing, and I think they were supposed to be for looks. I don't think my teacher ever like read them or something because they were in my fourth grade class. Like I read them all in fourth grade, and they're really dark. Like Red Riding Hood is also probably my least favorite.
Oh yeah.
Cinderella.
Yeah.
They're all really creepy. Yeah. Not a fan. No.
Well, that's what I was thinking of.
Not like Brothers Grimm, the Terry
Red
Miller
Riding
movie.
Hood, which
classic.
Is
classic.
Classic.
Red
Matt
Riding
Damon.
Hood. Is,
Matt Damon, Heath Ledger.
Oof.
Pretty. Oh, yeah. That was
and,
Terry Gilliam,
and,
wasn't it?
What's her name? Lena Headey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love her, yeah. But, all right, well, cool.
What? Have you seen Lovesick, Braden?
The Adventures of Pinocchio by Italian writer Carlo Collodi.
Oh, well, he's creepier than the Grimm brothers.
Is he?
To me.
I'm not familiar with Carlo Collodi.
My brain might have exaggerated it. I also saw Pinocchio in theaters, I believe. The remake?
Yeah.
With Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the blueberry.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that scarred me, so.
Yeah. Well, all right. I guess that about brings us to the end of the show. Anything else y'all want to mention?
No. I can't think of anything. I've been watching Chef's Mind, too, the fifth season with Ludo Lefebvre.
Chef's what? How many are there?
There's a ton.
Chef's Table?
Chef's Mind.
It was a PBS series.
Oh.
It was a PBS series, and it covered a lot of really good shows. It did David Chang, I think, and they had Sean Brock, and they did
Gabrielle Hamilton. I don't know who any of these people are.
They're chefs.
I microwave food my mom makes me and freezes.
Okay. Yeah.
Or just I eat broccoli straight.
I live vicariously through these shows because I can't be spending a lot of money to go up and eat at these places.
Yeah. Mm,
maybe you should make your own, Brayden.
Well, they do have recipes. I feel like you'd be a very good...
But... Yeah, I can really see that for you.
Yeah.
I really can, the culinary arts.
Wearing the little white hat.
Well, I didn't mean that necessarily. It's a big white hat.
I don't think I'd wear a chef's toque. It'd take a while to get to that point anyways. Yeah. So these guys put in a lot of time. Didn't you get them oven mitts
for Christmas?
No, I got that for Will.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. The little BB-8 oven mitts.
I got
you got Brayden the book.
The Blade Runner.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's okay. Everybody got gifts, so it's fine. We are a bit all over the place today, just a little bit. So sorry about that for getting off track at times, but hopefully...
As opposed to last week? Or any week where they're not here?
That's fair.
Yeesh.
That's fair. Yeah, when Brayden, you're not here, we just drone on.
There are no rails.
It's not droning. I talk really fast.
It's like being in the ocean and tossed by the storms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For better or worse. But, so, all right. So next week... So now Chloe saw Ocean's 8. She said she really liked it.
It's great.
We can do that, and or we can do The Incredibles 2. Doesn't matter to me. I'll see.
I want to see The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Oh, for crap's sake. I'm getting outvoted on this.
I'll see Ocean's 8 too.
As you should.
I'll try to watch it. I'm just not big on reboot things.
It's great.
This isn't Soderbergh, so.
It's so good. It's
Gary Ross.
It's Gary Ross. It's great. So good.
He did Seabiscuit and the first Hunger Games.
Okay, so it's really
I've heard it's good. I've heard it's good.
I was thinking of F. Gary Gray.
No.
He did The Italian Job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not him.
Taken in a different direction.
Yeah. But no, I mean, so Chloe, I guess, well, why don't we do...
We'll see what happens.
Why don't we do... We'll say we'll do Incredibles 2 as the first review, and then Chloe, I'll see Ocean's 8 as well.
Okay.
I'll try to watch it.
And then we'll do that as a secondary. And so...
I've heard mixed things. I've heard that the cast is horribly underused and that the writing is inconsistent for Ocean's 8.
No way.
It's just what I've read from
the
reviews.
Well, they're going to be underused because they're all, you know, main characters. They're all, they're all leading ladies.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, well. Yeah, so just stay tuned on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll keep you updated on that. But, yeah, I think those two movies for next week.
You have to say rate us on iTunes.
Yep, feel free to rate us on iTunes if you'd like. We'd really, really appreciate it. Always helps us out. And I know you can follow me on Letterboxd if you want. But I'll follow all the things I watch, the two or three things
I wonder if Passion Bill has a Letterboxd.
He doesn't, but Charlie and Cooper both have one.
So, alright.
Yeah. Passion Phil should get one. He can log his Bible document docs. And,
he's like a historian. That's like his thing.
Yeah, I know. It'd actually be interesting. He'd probably write a whole essay.
The Young Historian should be his name. His thing.
Yeah.
I think you should stick with Passion Phil.
Yeah. Passion Phil's a little more,
Passion Phil could be a little divisive, though.
Yeah.
I couldn't decide if I was going to say divisive or divisive, so I went in the middle, but...
You nailed it.
Divisive.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Guys, thanks as always for making it over here. I know everybody's schedules are always changing, so I appreciate everything you do, and Cooper too.
Well,
especially since he's leaving, so might as well get him on as much as we can. Yeah. So. All right. Well, I hope you all have a good one. Hope everybody listening out there is doing well. So.
Yeah.
Stay cool. All
right. Talk. What?
It's hot. It's summer.
It's hot out there.
Stay cool.
It's summertime.
Yikes.
Bye-bye.